Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin here with you. Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane on the ones and twos. It is a cold Wednesday morning. JoJo is back from Lynchburg, Virginia. I know you got in, was it late last night or early this morning?
I got to bed at 3, so we got in at like 1-ish. Then I have to drive from Smyrna to my palatial estate in Donelson, and then once I get there, and you know, you kind of wired a little bit and you fall asleep and then pop up at 7, and here we are.
Well, you're here and you're ready to go.
Yeah, unfortunate that Middle couldn't put it out, but it was a fantastic football game last night. I mean, they lost 42-35 and had their chances. Boy, they had their chances, and a few things did not go their way. Self-inflicted, and they got the loss, man. It's tough.
Do you put that one in a I hate these, but do you put it in a moral victory category or
not at all?
Okay,
not this is not Vanderbilt
because I didn't get to watch. I was working the Preds game.
Yeah.
I was keeping up with the
which
score.
Was the disaster as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Philip Forsberg here in just a few minutes.
Do we bring that up or not?
Maybe.
Do we ask
touch
him,
on it?
Hey, have you made your way around town yet? How about that crazy 440? Huh? There's something else. Just not a good night, though, for Middle Tennessee teams. But, you know, you live to play another day. No, that's not a moral victory because they should have won that ball game. That's a better team than sitting there at 2-6, had their chances. But Liberty's good. Have you that campus, it's like Belmont on steroids.
You were sending some pictures of, like, their practice facility and everything. I mean, it looks
Their
cool.
Practice facility is better than Tennessee's. I mean, their indoor facility is fantastic. It was amazing. So, yeah, it's Belmont on steroids.
Well, I mean, look, these schools like that that want to get – now, obviously, Hugh Freeze was a reclamation project, and, you know, he had to kind of start over to work his way back up. But,
yeah.
I mean, like, if you want to attract coaches like that, you want to get players like Malik Willis, you know, you're gonna have to play the game.
Well, it's a transfer portal teams now for everybody except for, what, Vanderbilt? So you have to go out and you got to work the portal hard. I mean, and I hate it for these high school kids who are now getting left behind because if a guy goes to – if you're a college coach and a player from, I don't know, Wake Forest is going to transfer to your school and you're not a Power 5, you're a Group of 5, and he's not a bad player, who are you going to take? You're going to take this guy over some high school guy. And I hate it. I really hate it, but that's the way the game's being played now.
Yeah, and it's certainly kind of part of it and part of the game, and that's the way it goes. So, unfortunate for MTSU last night.
It is.
I really thought they were going to pull that out.
Yeah, but now they got 17 days off. The next game is not until Saturday, November 4th against New Mexico State.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe,
yeah, it is.
You know,
reset. For me, though, like the Preds lost last night, 6-1. I want to get back on the ice today and play a game tonight and erase all that and go forward. Now you've got 17, 18 days to let that fester inside of you, and it's just not a good thing. But there's 4 left. There's a chance for it to get go 6-6 and hit a ball game.
As Joe mentioned, Predators fall 6-1 to the Oilers last night. Philip Forsberg will join us in just a few minutes as we talk to a player every Wednesday to start the show. So we'll get his thoughts on that and also just the season as a whole to this point. It's obviously very early, but,
Can you imagine they go to Philip and say, hey, real quick, do you mind doing an interview with these two boneheads over at the radio station? And he's like, are you kidding me? What's worse, last night or calling into this radio show now?
Well, we're about to find out. we'll have Phil in just a second, but you know, always good to talk to. I mean, that's, hey, comes with it. It's part of it. You know, you're going to have good nights and bad nights, but, so the Predators will head to New York. They keep doing these little, you know, like one game at home here, one game on the road. Like I haven't really seen that before. And they'll finally, when they get back from New York, they'll actually have an extended homestand, which I'm sure the guys will like. Let's bring in Philip Forsberg, who is on the line with us now. Philip, good morning. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I want to start with what we were just talking about with this kind of the way the schedule falls at the beginning of this season. I haven't really seen this before. You play one in Tampa, and then you come back home, and then you go to Boston, and then you come back home, and then you go to New York. That's kind of unique. Is that – do you like that, or would you rather just have, like, a homestand and then go on the road for a few days?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. I think it's definitely not something you want to do over the whole season, you know, just every other day like that. But at the same time, it probably beats a 5-game road trip, you know. So it's I think it's been a little bit back and forth, like you said, but it'd be nice to go to New York, hopefully take care of business there, and then be home for a little while after that.
So we'll get it out of the way. Last night was obviously not what you were looking for. 6-1 to Edmonton. Is a team that, you know, you have veterans like yourself that are, you know, trying to do your thing. You got young guys that are trying to find their way. How do you take last night and use it as a tool to learn from? Or do you just simply crumble it up and go, hey, it was a bad night, we're going to just move on?
No, I definitely think that the first of those two options, I think there's a lot to learn. I honestly don't think the game was bad. I mean, if there's not a 6-1 game, to me, it's, we make a couple crucial mistakes and they have elite players that is taking advantage of them. Obviously, there's two power play goals and penalties are crucial. And we talked about that before. And, I mean, we kept it to, I think, two or three penalties. I obviously took two, which was not great. But that's not a horrible number, but then they score on two of them. You know, so that's right there is a problem against one of the best, if not the best power play in the league. And other than that, I think we're doing a lot of good things offensively, but a couple breakdowns, a couple mistakes, and they're crucial. I mean, they're effective and they're very, very dangerous once you give them time. And that was kind of the game to me. I thought we created a lot of chances. I thought we're creating, high level chances too. Their goalie played well, but we got to get, obviously a little bit of their effectiveness into our game too. Like, we had 42 shots, I think, and only one goal versus, like I said, they had four on like 10 in the first period, and it kind of was the game right there. So I think there's a lot to learn for sure. Definitely not just one of those that you crumble up and move on from.
Philip Forsberg is with us. I talked to you the day that Andrew Brunette was introduced, and the first thing you said to me was that, you know, he played 1,000 games in the league, and you seem to really, really like that. And when I listen to him talk after games, whether it's a win or a loss, like, I feel like I'm listening to you. I'm listening to a player that, you know, somebody that has been in the battles and understands. And I feel like he's not going to say anything and ask you guys to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself as a player. And he talked last night about, you know, the little areas and getting in the dirty areas and those things. When you hear your coach say that, knowing everything that I just said, that he played those games and he lived those battles, does it sink in a little bit more because you guys are kind of speaking the same language?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm far from the experience that he's had, but at the same time, I've been in the league for a while now and obviously got over 600 games at least. So it definitely, it's like you said, it's been really good since day one. He's been very honest and very open about how he wants to play and also about when things aren't going our way. So I think that was, I mean, obviously there's clearly things that we did. I mean, you lose 6-1, you're not doing, there's a few things you didn't do right, obviously. So I think that's, he was very honest with that during the game. And obviously he's, it's not like he's, trying to beat around the bushes when it's not great, but I think he's been, he's been great. I think his dialogue has been great so far. And like you said, it obviously he's seen it all in over 1,000 games. He's been up 6-1, he's been down 6-1, he's lost, he's won, he's done everything, you know. So I think that's something that we definitely can benefit just from his experience as a player, but also as a coach the last few years.
We're talking to Philip Forsberg. Philip, you've been in the league a long time now, and this is nothing new to you, but for us fans, it's weird. What's it like when you see a guy you've played with for so long on the opposite bench, like Mattias Ekholm and other guys like that? What goes, I mean, you spent so much time with him, you've practiced with him, you've traveled with him, and now to see him on a different jersey, is that a weird feeling?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's obviously, there's been a few of those moments, I guess, in the last few years with a little bit of the turnaround they've had here. But for me personally, that was obviously the weirdest one. I mean, we were so close, and he was kind of like my big brother when I first came in at 19 years old. I had no clue how to get groceries or an apartment or anything like that, you know, and he was there to help me with that. And yeah, I mean, our bond just had grown every year. I mean, like you said, spent 10, 11 years together almost every day. You know, you see each other every day. Once he had his kids, you start going to see them. You get close to them. It's just bigger than hockey, you know, and that's what's cool with the sport. I mean, you're growing lifelong friends, and just because he left doesn't mean that we're not friends anymore. Obviously, like, we miss him here, but at the same time, I'm really happy for him that he's in a good spot And, I mean, there's worse places to go than to play with some of those guys over there, obviously.
Well, you know, we hear all the time that, you know, it's a business. But you know what? I'm not in that locker room, and Chase isn't in the locker room. We're not at the practices. We're not traveling with you and everything. And I just think this, you know, when they tell you it's a business, they mean it's a business because there's a guy across from you, and then he's gone in that way. Did it take a while to get used to that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was different situation for me personally, just because I wasn't playing. You know, I was injured when it happened. So the first game of the season this year was the first game I played without him. You know, so it was one of those things, and that goes for everybody that we traded. You know, like Joey and Dutchy and a couple more guys like Grant, like everybody that we traded away at the deadline. I obviously never got a chance to play with our new team after that until the season started this year. So I think that eased it into it a little bit, I guess. Like it wasn't as weird, but then obviously you played three games in game four, so it's obviously and it's going to be a few of those too, obviously, with Joey and Dutchy. Like, they were here for long times, and then Giner, we played him in the first game, you know, and that was a little different, obviously, because he wasn't here as long, but at the same time you build close relationships with all your teammates, and it's weird. I mean, it's obviously a little bit weird when you first play, and then once you get out there, it's goes a little bit like business as usual. I mean, you see me and Eki kind of battling it up as soon as the game gets going, you know, last night. So I think that's the cool part of hockey. Like, I guess you say the business part, but at the same time, it's obviously hard to just leave regular life out of it, you know.
Philip Forsberg is with us. You've played with Ryan O'Reilly, one of the new guys, but, you know, obviously, as Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette like to say, a serial winner. He's won a Stanley Cup. I really like that line with you and Uso on the wings. What's it been like playing with Ryan O'Reilly?
It's been great. I think we're growing our game every single night. I think just watching him in practice, all the little things that he's doing so well, you can tell why he's been playing his best hockey when it mattered the most. Obviously, the Conn Smythe there with St. Louis. And I think he's been a huge addition for our team on the ice, but also off the ice. He's a vocal leader. He knows what it takes. And I think, like I said, our line is growing. I thought we honestly could have had 3-4 goals last night. We played really well against possibly the best line in the league. I mean, every game, every shift was against them. And I thought we handled our matchup really well. And that's obviously a huge part to Ryan O'Reilly, like you said, just being such a good two-way player, always in the right spots, and kind of frees up me and Parsi to kind of do our thing offensively, try to work low, be strong on pucks in the corners, and then try to kind of create opportunities like that.
I'm talking to Philip Forsberg this morning. Philip, you know, in football, when you scout a team, you got 5, 6, 7 days to do that. You immediately have to turn to the New York Rangers. You're playing Thursday night. How do you scout that team so quickly? And what's the process? Like today, I know we have skate this morning. You land in New York. I know you got practice tomorrow. When do you find time to really go over the game plan for tomorrow night when you got a game so quickly?
I mean, usually the day after the game is, I guess, a mix, you can say. We go over what we did last night and kind of flip to what we need to do. Obviously, every team presents different challenges, and the Rangers are going to be a little bit different than the Oilers, but at the same time, it's not as extreme as football, where you have a full week, and you need the full week to prepare, you know, for all the plays. Hockey is a little more ad-lib to it, which, thankfully for us,
right,
that works a little bit better. We don't have to spend days and days in the video room like some of my football friends have to do. But I think, like I said, today is going to be meetings, kind of go over what we did, what we can do better, things like that, and then kind of turn the page as we leave when we get to New York, just get settled. Then tomorrow morning will be all about the Rangers, just kind of go over a couple of things that they do, their tendencies and stuff like that. And the nice thing is it's mostly about yourself in the NHL. You just try to get your game in order, and like I said, you have to be aware of a few certain things, certain players and certain tendencies, like I said, but it's more about your own team, for sure.
Real quick, Philip, you know, obviously Peter Laviolette takes over as the head coach of the Rangers, and, you know, the 25th season of the Predators, he was a big part of a lot of the history here, and you were on those teams. I know you've played against him when he was with Washington, but is it ever any different going up against a former head coach, especially someone that had a lot of success here?
I think it was a little bit the same thing, as I said. Like, the first time, it was probably a little special. Like, you know, like you said, we had a great time with Lavi here. He was a really big part of this franchise for a long time. Like you said, we had a lot of success under him. So the first couple of times you see him in Washington, it's obviously a little bit weird to see him on the other side. But then business kicks in, as we talked about earlier. He kind of becomes another head coach that you just have to find a way to beat, I guess. But nothing but good things to say about Lavi. And, yeah, I'm excited to get to play against him again.
Philip, appreciate it, as always, for you doing this. And good luck in New York. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
See ya. Philip Forsberg, Nashville Predators forward, joining us here on the show. We'll be joined by a player every Wednesday around 9:05. And so really looking forward to that.
Right out the gate, man.
Right out the gate, we get it going. I have a question for Big Joe and the audience coming up next. I'm gonna make you wait.
Oh, man.
And I will ask coming up next. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.